What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Flagrant 2 Podcast, analysis by assholes, public school quarter water commentary for your sports needs. I'm Andrew Schultz. I'm joined here by Akash Singh and Kaz. One name only, Kaz.
Yeah, just one name. That
one
works.
One name only. Okay. Let's introduce ourselves. Akash, people obviously know you from MTV fame.
Yeah.
People maybe know you from the Desi podcast that you do, which is...
It's called American Desis.
American Desis. What else? What else
might
people
know? We got a tour, American Born Confused Desis. Four Indian comics that are all actually funny. A lot of Indian stuff going
on. Funny.
Right. So you rep hard, rep the Indian shit hard. Also, people have probably heard you on the Brilliant Idiots podcast.
Yeah.
You are my best friend in comedy, one of my best friends in life.
Likewise.
And then we're also here with Kaz. Kaz,
yeah,
people know you. Bullshit. This is the international man of mystery right here, dude.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of things going on with Kaz. We don't know what it is. He's at every major event. You know, you're like Worldwide West or whatever that guy is.
Yo, you are.
You were the Worldwide West.
Hero, man.
I bet he is. I see
hero.
You trying to fill those shoes right there. I see this dude at every event in third row.
I just want to be around and just have people like, yo,
bullshit.
Why is he always here?
I've never seen you with bad tickets.
This is true. I'm not gonna go if it's not like, if it's a nosebleed seat, like I'm not. I sound like a pure asshole, but it's definitely not like,
no, stunt it. We are analysis by
absolutely stunt,
this is what we do.
Jeez,
yeah. This is gorgeous,
right.
So
but
yeah,
nah, you know, my name is Kaz. Mm-hmm. I am a founding partner of a touring party called Henny Palooza.
Boom.
And we tour the country just giving away free liquor to friends.
You toured a country squirting Hennessy in thought mouths.
In thought mouths. Well, they aren't all thoughts, but like 85-90% of them are thoughts. Yes.
the enjoyable ones to look at.
Of course.
All the thoughts. I mean, the recent one that we all saw, obviously, was the girl that was leaning over the barricade to get the Hennessy. She falls over. You have zero reaction whatsoever about it. You didn't, I think you maybe moved your Jordan 7 or whatever it was, like slightly. You're like, I need to avoid her face.
I had to move because, all right, so boom, right? The camera angle doesn't really catch how deep of a jump that would be for me to jump down and help her up. So I was like, there's no use for me to jump down there, and now we're both hurt. So I just motioned over to the security guard. I'm like, guard, please help this poor woman who fell on her face. And like, nobody saw, like, there's like a step up part, like where she fell.
Yeah.
So like, her face hit like full steel first before she hit like
funny
pavement.
Yeah, but she
was good. She got up and she was straight. She went
She's
viral,
too drunk
though,
to know.
So, yeah, like that's the point. Like, you drink enough Hennessy, like, she probably doesn't even know. Like,
everything's cool.
I guarantee you, she probably doesn't even know that video exists.
Yeah, she's golden. Like, you just put on Bodak Yellow and then she's back to the party. That's how you recuperate, right? Nothing hurts when Bodak is on.
Of course not.
All right, so people know you obviously from Henny Palooza. They would probably know you maybe from Bleacher Report, maybe The Stashed, right?
Yes.
So you started this print magazine that was also an online magazine that was part of this marketing for basically you've been out there in the world.
I've been around for a while.
Okay.
Yes.
Great on Twitter, by the way.
I tweet a lot.
Bro, it's not that you tweet a lot, like, I don't know if you stay on the fucking explore page or some shit, but like, you find the weirdest things first. You know,
you know everything.
If I retweet some shit, it's probably because I saw, if I like got a comment to it, it's probably because I saw it come up on yours, and then I take that shit and act like I found it on Twitter.
I gotta act like, I gotta be honest, man. Like, I have like a cheat code of friends that are just always,
you're my cheat code. You are the Vasco de Gama of Twitter. You will find the weirdest shit. If Catch Me Outside Girl does anything, you get a notification.
This is facts. And this is probably the most the best compliment I've gotten about my Twitter account.
All right.
But it's I got a lot of friends that send me a lot of crazy stuff, and you know, we all laugh at it together. So
boom,
that's
it's perfect. I'm Andrew Schultz. Some of you guys probably know from the Brilliant Idiots podcast. We're doing this introduction because we don't know where you're fucking coming from, right? You could be coming from the Stash. You could be coming from the Henny Palooza world. You could be coming from American Daisies. You could be coming from the Indian world. You could be coming from Brilliant Idiots. So you might know me from Brilliant Idiots, who do a podcast with Charlamagne the God.
You got a comedy special out. You'll need to peep it.
Yeah, check that out right there.
I caught that this weekend, by the way. It was hilarious.
Man. Appreciate
great.
You, man.
He's a beast.
441. I put it right up on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheAndrewSchultz. And it's the Brilliant Idiots YouTube as well. So you can find it right there. It's 441. I do four clubs, four different sets, one night. It's quick, 17 minutes. You just digest that, share it, do whatever you can. That'd be great. Besides that, I've done some TV stuff, obviously the MTV things, sitcoms here. Now, who gives a fuck? Point is, we want to talk sports, okay? We're just trying to qualify ourselves to you right now so we could be, you know, pinnacle asshole as we'd like to be. Let's get into this Kyrie shit. Kyrie goes on First Take today.
Fantastic.
Did you watch the whole interview, Cass?
I got a good 30 minutes of it.
It was 30 minutes? 30.
He was there for like a good minute, man. Like, they had like commercial breaks and everything.
Bro,
like,
I got 7 minutes.
I saw clips.
Like, clips, because it was boring as hell. Like, he was just sitting there giving them nothing.
Get a friend, dog. You come for an hour? Kyrie got no friends, bro.
Dude, Kyrie's an enigma. First of all, his face is skinny. He looks like Slender Man. He needs that beard back, because I don't know what's going on with Cass's face right now.
I was about to say, man, like, yo, this is why I keep my beard. I know what I look like underneath this beard.
Bro, so, I look like I'm dying.
Both of you.
Yo.
Both of you. That's the man filter. Yeah. We might not put like little bunny ears or like dog mouth on us, but if we got a nice little beard,
just
we got
on my face all the time. Like, that's why I never give girls that do Snapchat filters any shit, because like, I wear my Snapchat filter.
That's
all
you
the
in
time.
Life, right?
And that's what Kyrie looks like now. Kyrie looks like he's, you know, he looks like the Manchurian candidate,
bro.
Man.
That's what you tweeted. I saw that tweet. Real talk.
It is wild to see. But anyway, so he's on there. Acting super zen.
He's not acting super zen. And I'm mad Bomani got to this first, but he's acting just like Kobe.
Exactly.
In the same way, I think Kobe, before he won his own championships, used to sound a lot like Jordan. Mm-hmm. Kyrie sounds even more like older Kobe. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what he's going for. Because I thought this is some like Buddhist thing. You know, he's got that like weird Vulcan Buddhist symbol on his arm.
That. I thought it was like wings or something. I don't know what
the
that
fuck
was.
But you know, it's like one of those things you see.
And I love Kyrie. Yeah, he's the same Pat Celtic.
It's one of those
like
things
myself,
you see non-white people having necklaces of.
But Kyrie's like, I don't know what's kind of changed about him, but it feels like the way he was talking is like he knows something that we don't know.
Yes.
Like, he definitely knows, like, some shit went down over that final series. Because, like,
ooh, interesting.
Oh, I didn't think about
something
that.
Went down. I don't know what it is, but, like, there was a marked change from, if you go back and watch the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Those guys were celebrating like it was the championship.
Yep.
Like, they were, like, damn near in tears. Yep. Like, they knew that, like, for some reason, I feel like they all knew, like, that this was it. Like, this is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, because Golden State's waiting for him.
Golden State, but at the same time, it was more than that. That's what I thought at first. I'm like, oh, God, these guys, they know they're running into a buzzsaw when they go play against the Warriors.
But saw camaraderie.
There was camaraderie.
That you did not see.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So the question is, where was Delonte West?
Even though.
Did Delonte.
That's a million-dollar question, right? I don't know, man. Like, with Kyrie, you can kind of tell, like, once it hit that, once they got into the finals, even that one game that they won, it wasn't a game that they won because of, like, they played more together. Like, they just happened to hit a
shot.
They were just not missing. Like, they were just getting the ball and chucking. So it was like, as a basketball dude, it's like, okay, like, there's no way you could sustain this. Like, they're getting punched next game, which they did.
Right.
And it was just like, Kyrie knows something. Yep. He knows something in that building, in that organization, that made him say, I can't do this
Speculation.
Anymore.
Here's what I don't necessarily know. I mean, you might be right, but he seemed like he just kind of took it all out on LeBron in this interview, the clips I saw, whereas I was thinking he hates the organization, which makes sense. It's super dysfunctional.
Right.
But it seemed like it was all like at Bron. Like,
he wouldn't even say his name. He wouldn't even mention him by name. It's like, dude, this is like your tag team. Well, I don't know if you're tag team partners, but like, you know, you guys been through some wars together. You can't even mention the guy by name.
What is your speculation?
I think Bron has way more control over that organization than people think.
Oh, he absolutely does. Yeah.
And which is a lot already.
Yeah.
But I think he knows Bron is out of there, and he's not going to be sitting there like a bridesmaid like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were when he left Miami.
But if you're
First of all, great. I mean,
he's not getting left at the altar.
He's not getting left at the altar. And there's a couple things. He understands that team is not designed around his skills. It's designed around LeBron's skills, right?
Yes.
So if he stays in there, it's not really a team that's going to be conducive to him winning as much as maybe him going to like a Boston where they'll put pieces around him. Totally get that. Here's my feeling with Kyrie. There's all this talk about like how he doesn't want to be number two and how he doesn't care and how he doesn't want like LeBron to be his daddy and all these types of things.
And that was kind
of
fucked up too, because like you could like when he got there, they always used to ask Kyrie like, what have you learned from LeBron? Is he a big brother to you? And this is that. And you could always see it in his face that Kyrie never really got jiggy with that's my big brother thing.
And here's the thing. He tried to act as if he didn't have ego. Mm-hmm. Right? He was like, no, it's not ego. I just knew that this was the right decision for me. Obviously, I do a podcast with Charlamagne the God, mm-hmm. a person who is much more famous than me, much more successful than me, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I understand what it's like to be on a team with LeBron.
Gotcha.
Right.
I feel.
Yeah.
You feel very Kyrie
like Kyrie.
Like.
Don't get me wrong.
You with the LeBron of talking.
Is he Gordon? Is Akash Gordon Hayward? Like, where am I?
No.
How do I fit into this?
So
Jaylen Brown, dog.
I'm but Jaylen
same beard
Brown.
And everything.
I'll take
So let me explain the point I'm trying to make. Is when I say Kyrie, I don't mean that I'm upset by it. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, it's very easy for me to be in this situation with Charlamagne because I know how great he is.
Yeah.
It is not difficult for me to walk into it because I look there every day and I go, fuck, this guy's the best at what he does.
Gotcha.
I don't think Kyrie believes Bron is better than him. And I think that's what this comes down to.
I don't think, because
you wouldn't, at least for me, like, you wouldn't want to leave and maybe prove yourself or specifically go away from him and not worry about him being hurt. Like, yeah. There was all these, like, almost stabs.
He said something really poignant at his first press conference.
Right.
When he was talking about, okay, as great as he is, no one person does it by themselves. He said something along the lines of
say that one more time?
He said something along the lines of, like, well, it's a team game, and not all one person should get all the credit. Because I guess they were talking about like,
yes,
that type of stuff. So I kind of get where you're coming from there.
Think about it, right? He hits the game,
the game-winning shot.
But he gets credit for that.
Wait for it.
On the MVP.
And who gets credit? Bron brought him back from 3-1.
Yeah.
The block. Exactly. He's like, fuck the block, me. I dropped the triple in his mouth.
He hit the shots.
Listen, Pippen marked up the other team's best player every series.
Yeah.
He's Pippen.
Yeah.
Kyrie, we've seen what you can do in here. And he said this thing was a real, here's what I don't like. He went to the press conference for the trade and was like, oh, I learned so much from LeBron. He was so great.
Yeah.
Then you get on this interview and it's all shots at LeBron. And he said something, they asked, who's better, KD or LeBron? He was like, well, KD won the championship. So if wins.
He did not say.
Yeah, he's like, listen, KD won the championship. You got to have that debate. He didn't say KD's better, but he's like, he closed the gap or something. But you're a dude
not
who's
an open
never
and shut
made.
Case anymore.
Yeah, if you never made the playoffs without Bron, what were you the first 3 years of your career? Were you not playoff worthy? And what are you going to be on Boston when Cleveland spanks your ass in the conference finals? Are you going to be not as good as you used to be?
You think they're getting the conference finals?
I mean, wherever they go.
First round off.
Oh, the Celtics?
First round
You're bugging.
Out.
You are bugging.
Maybe second. I think Washington's a better team.
Brad Stevens took the land of misfit toys like 2 years ago, like six games against Washington.
He is against Cleveland. He is.
He's a really good coach.
He's a great coach.
Dude, he's so good he doesn't have to wear a tie.
Exactly.
Do you know how hard it is? Like, nobody, even David Stern, who's like Mr. Dress Appropriate, he's like, hey, sometimes you got to take, get a cool out. Sometimes you got to get cash. You got to go business cash, Brett.
See, I don't know if, I'll get to your point in a little bit. I don't know if Brad Stevens, I don't know if this is Brad Stevens' best team, but this is by far the most talent he's ever had as a professional coach.
Okay.
It's all on him
undeniable. Yep.
To kind of like make this thing work now. And I think he can make it work.
So is Brad Stevens a take not so much talent, get them to all play together, sacrifice, and get the most out of them type of coach?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he the type of coach that's just going to get the most out of any player? I guess
is he Don Nelson or Greg Popovich?
Facts. Good question. Or Larry Brown.
Yeah.
There we go.
Like, can he deal with players who have egos? Because Kyrie's going to go in there and go, I'm shooting every time I have the ball.
I think he has a different type of ego. I think because of this situation that he just left with Cleveland and LeBron,
yep.
I think he's going to go in there with the ego, but not the type of ego where he can't lower himself for the betterment of the team. Because he's going into a place where, who's the franchise player in that team? Who's the franchise before Isaiah, before all that? It's Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is the guy who is arguably their best asset.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like, he's not going to go in there. It's not like he's looking at Tyronn Lue or what's the guy, the foreign guy that was there before.
If this guy thinks he's on par with Bron.
The first Cavs coach. Not the first Cavs coach, but the one.
Oh, the guy who coached in Israel?
Yeah.
David Blatt.
I forgot his name.
Yep.
But it's like, he's going in there and it's like, Brad Stevens has a pedigree. It's like,
you got to respect it.
He didn't respect Bron's pedigree. That's the point. LeBron came in with two championships, best player in the world, the peak of his powers, and he was just like, nah, man, I want my own thing. Bro, I didn't want him coming here.
Kyrie fills himself. And listen, I think that's great because you need NBA confidence.
You need
irrational NBA confidence to play well in this league.
Of course.
And it is an asset. I mean, that's what makes you take a step to the side, almost fall away three-pointer to win the NBA Finals.
It's an awful shot for 99% of other players, by the way.
Awful shot.
Awful shot.
But he knows he can hit it. Now, do you guys remember, this is a while ago, it was the first Olympics that Kyrie got to play with Kobe.
And there's a video
of Kyrie going at Kobe, and he's like,
this is peak Kobe, too.
This is peak
just off of a chip.
Kobe. Kyrie's going, yo, you can't hold me one-on-one. You can't hold me one-on-one. He's basically like, yo, come on, let's play. There's no way you could beat me. I can't fathom that you could beat me. So this is...
this is that guy with a championship under his belt and the game winner.
In his head, he's probably like, the only reason we lost is because I didn't get the ball more. Just give me the ball more, Bron, and I'll take care of business.
And there's a level of respect I have for that. And if he does it with Boston, you got to give respect. But if you want to be Kobe, are you going to learn to play D like Kobe?
That's another thing. I don't know.
Fucking call.
Kobe wasn't no slouch on 50. That's 50% of the game. And Kyrie don't really have interest. And it's easy to not have interest when you got LeBron behind you, which he seems to forget. Now he got to play D.
So here's the other question. We have a situation where Kyrie didn't win a single game without LeBron last year.
Yeah.
When LeBron would go to the bench, even in the finals, he struggled to score on his own.
Yeah.
It's not like the team struggled to score. Specifically, Kyrie, who's arguably the best ISO player in the game, struggled to score.
Right.
Is there enough on Boston to create room for him to be the same offensive player he was with Cleveland?
I don't know if it's that close, but I do believe that scoring isn't the issue for him. I think Kyrie's going to get buckets. He'll get buckets anywhere.
Okay.
And Stevens is going to figure out how to use him.
Stevens has to figure out a way to make him a more of a facilitator. He needs to make his options weapons. Like, he needs to turn Gordon Hayward into a
which boss. He does say he has interest in. He said in this interview, I get to be point guard now. I couldn't do that before, which is another shot. But
yo,
this is true.
But let's keep it 100. I play point guard. I facilitate and I pass the ball. Because I can't finish like Kyrie. You know what I mean? Like, if I could finish, I ain't driving and kicking. Fuck a kick. I'm doing floaters all day. Gordon, get your old buckets. Get some hair gel, you bum. You look pretty over there. I'm going to get these baskets.
Holford, you're gonna average 10 more rebounds a game.
That's it. Get my rebound. Put it back. That's your assist.
Yo, good question you asked earlier, though. Could they beat Washington? I've been thinking about that since you said it.
Who'd Washington lose? What was the guy's name who I think is underrated? Three guard.
Was it Otto Porter?
Otto.
I think they re-signed him.
Oh, did they match it? Because he got an offer sheet from two places, right?
Yeah, I think he got an offer sheet, but I'm not sure. But even with or without him,
right?
John Wall is probably the best.
He can mark up Kyrie, I think. He's probably the longer, best. He's quick, fast.
Absolutely.
Beast. He just can't shoot.
Physically wise, and he's getting there. He's not a Kyrie shooter. He's not a Steph shooter.
Yeah.
But you can't leave him open. Like, he'll hit it.
Mid-range, he'll hit.
Yeah. But he can take a guard out of their game.
Bro,
like, he can lock somebody up.
And especially, like, going full speed, like... him full speed ahead.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
The one thing I need to know about Kyrie, though, is, like, I need to know what the aha moment was for him. Because he was, like, you can tell that even if, like, Bron was going to leave, like, he left a lot of money on the table. You know what I mean? Like, he had to forego, like, his trade kicker and, like, all this other stuff just to get away from this guy. You know what I mean?
So he sacrificed
a lot of money.
He's getting away from the only franchise he's ever known.
Okay.
He's going back to the East Coast. Like, that had to be something that happened.
I know.
I got it.
I know what it is.
What was it?
He likes ugly bitches. No place on the planet has uglier women than Boston.
Uglier than San Francisco.
I have two exes from Boston.
I'm glad they're your exes.
I see why. They're exes.
There's reason Drake said all my exes live in Texas, not Boston. Okay? But the other ugliest place in the world with women is San Francisco. Maybe he realizes, and this is a theory that I've had for a while, that in order to reach your maximum potential as an athlete, you need to be in a city with ugly women. That's why the Knicks are so awful, because there's no distractions.
There's no distraction.
Patriots.
That's true.
Incredible.
It's a city of champions, the Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Does Cleveland have bad bitches? I met a couple of local, like, hot girls randomly from Ohio.
I've never
been
to Cleveland, but if I had to guess,
I think we all assume no.
Yeah, but then the Browns should be way better.
Exactly. The Browns would be amazing.
they must have found a little town full of hot bitches.
Indians won 22 straight.
Yeah,
it's
true. They're on a roll. They just lost, but they won 22 straight. Nice little spot.
They've just put all the ugly girls in one place, and that's where they're mining them.
Yo, here's something I read, though. I was reading Hoops Hype during the trade rumors, like just a dork, constantly on Hoops Hype.
Yeah.
And they said it really bothered Kyrie that they never asked him about social issues. They only asked LeBron.
Mm.
Kyrie wants to be that public persona that people come to, and I think that's part of the reason he came to First Take and hung out for an hour like a fucking loser.
I was about to say, like, that's one thing Bron, Kobe, these big superstar NBA guys have never done. Like, I can't even remember the last time they had, like, a really big, like, athlete, like, at the peak of their time on First Take. What was it, like, Richard Sherman?
It's too thirsty.
It was probably, like, the last time they really had somebody, like, when they still had Skip, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, I guess if you watch First Take, they'll have, like, big guests if they're, like, in L.A. or, like, at the Super Bowl or something. But this guy went to Connecticut and was like, I'm going to sit here and talk to these guys.
So, he wanted to.
He wants to
be that guy that you come to. He might have even been said some just ridiculous shit on purpose, but, like, he wants to be that dude that you come to, and that's why he went there. But, dog, that looks so thirsty to me. He just hanging out for an hour.
That was the other, I don't know if I shared with you, but we had another name. Kaz had another great name for the show. It was Thirst Take.
Yeah. I love that. Great.
It was great. Could have been a good one.
Could have worked.
Flagrant too for now.
Recently, one day we should just, like, have an episode where we just talk about all the names we were throwing out for the show and just see if anybody liked it. But I was, like, super gung-ho about Thirst Take, and that Kyrie was Thirst Take.
Okay, here's a question that maybe we'll dip out of this Kyrie Gary subject. Let's say Isaiah gets back to his peak that he was at with Boston.
Okay.
IT gets back to his peak, hypothetically speaking. Are the Cavs better?
Yes.
They're deeper.
Let's talk about it, right?
Yes.
Depth was a big issue for
them
in the playoffs.
They're not good enough to be Golden State, but they're better.
But right, okay. So let's okay. Now we get Deron Williams out of there, Deron Williams, whatever his bum ass is at us.
Yeah.
Now we have Derrick Rose.
If anybody watched the Knicks last year, Derrick Rose was pretty damn good last
really?
Year.
Really, dude,
he played fucking great. What did he average? 18 a game. 18
a game. 4 assists.
Four.
He was pretty healthy up until the last game or two. He's like, yeah, fuck it, I'm hurt, whatever, and sat out for the rest of the season. But, like, when you watch, the Knicks had a lot of issues last year.
Yes.
Derrick Rose was not
one of them. Now, here's the thing. What we've always said since Derrick Rose got injured was, if he was the microwave, if he came off the bench and gave a team 20 minutes, he could extend his career. He'd be an amazing sixth man. What if he's your sixth man off the bench, get you buckets?
I think that's been him. And what's his name? Jay Crowder?
Jay Crowder's huge.
I've always told people, I'm like, yo, the Jay Crowder signing is probably the biggest signing for the Cavs.
Okay.
Because now LeBron's not guarding the best perimeter guy
anymore. What I've been saying. LeBron, that's why I never wanted them to trade Wiggins for Love.
Exactly. So, I'm like, yo, you got a 3-and-D guy. Like, literally all he does is hit threes and guard the best player.
And lock up.
And now you take the best player on earth and it's like, just go do what you do. And that's get buckets and get assists. That's
Furthermore, you take away Boston's best defender. Mm-hmm. On Bron.
Mm-hmm. They also lost Avery Bradley.
And Bradley's gone. So their best lockdown for ones and twos is gone.
Like who? Like Marcus Smart's left
over? And I love Smart. I love Smart, but you're not going to do the job that Bradley did.
No.
Right?
No,
Bradley was the best.
He was the best.
He was a lockdown.
Yeah.
Right? He was a fucking, 24 on the Redskins.
Josh Norman.
He's a Josh Norman, right? He's Revis Island.
Underrated scorer, too. He averaged 17 a game or something.
Great. Avery Bradley's great. If Avery Bradley's on the Cavs, I think they'd beat Golden State.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're an Avery Bradley away to me.
I don't know if they beat Golden State. I don't know if they're better. They're deeper.
I would love to see Avery Bradley chase Steph around.
Curry,
and just tell him, hey, Bradley, you don't have to score at all. Just chase that motherfucker around. Woo!
Yeah. That's the one thing, man. Like, the Cavs still don't have an answer for KD. As good as Jay Crowder is,
he's not going
to. Maybe you throw him and Braun at KD to slow him down. You're still not slowing him down.
Right.
Wait, hold on though, real quick. Do we go to KD's fake Twitter yet, or do you guys want to keep?
No, we'll get there.
There's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to unwrap about. We got tons here.
I just want to acknowledge the fact that the Cavs might have improved, but haven't gotten worse.
That's a lot of ifs, though.
If IT's healthy,
that's it. But imagine how easy IT is going to score.
Mm. Oh yeah,
with Bron on the court
and
Kevin Love.
And Kevin Love stretching. Yeah. It's like, come on, what was his Kevin Love last year? The white boy with the horrible beard, the Amish beard, what was his fucking name?
Oh, God, Kelly Olynyk.
First of all, stop giving him pussy. That's what, let me tell you something. That's how you know girls out there are ugly. When he goes, they look like that, I'm growing this shit out.
Awful.
Okay.
Disgusting. But I do think they got better. I do think they got deeper.
And they got the pick.
They're healthier. And they have the Brooklyn pick. The pick is huge. Dog, if they happen by some miracle of Christ hold on to LeBron James,
yeah,
and happen to have like a top five pick next year, which could be the Slovenian kid who was killing Porzingis during the Eurobasket.
What's his name? Luka Doncic or whatever?
I forgot his name. Yeah. But he was smoking and Porzingis gave it back to him too. But I'm this kid's like 17 years old. Like,
yep.
You got him. You got Michael Porter Jr. coming out, who's like another like KD possibly. Like they got a deep dude from Duke, the kid that like skipped the year or whatever.
Yep.
It's another deep draft.
Yeah.
So it's like you hold on to LeBron, you hold on to Isaiah Thomas, hold on to Derrick Rose, hold on to Kevin Love, hold on to Crowder. You hold on to J.R. Smith and Shumpert, and you have the number one pick?
I think they're better.
I really think they're better.
It goes
4-2 instead of 4-1.
Boom. Okay, right. Golden State's still the best, right? But I think it's arguably a more interesting finals. The one problem is IT's defense is even worse.
Oh, yeah. He's an absolute
liability.
Doorknob.
Like, and so is Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose ain't playing no fucking D.
No, he's not. But I mean, but you got Shumpert off the bench who could spell him for a little bit. But you got, they're deep. They're very deep.
Bron can rest a little bit more. He don't got to play fucking 38 minutes, 40 minutes.
They also brought over a 3-and-D guy from Europe. What's his name? I can't remember.
I forgot his name.
They got this dude, Ante Zizic, in the trade. I heard decent things about him. And then they brought over somebody whose name I can't remember from Europe, though. He's supposed to play D2.
And another thing that you spoke about with, you thinking Kyrie doesn't think LeBron is as good as we think he is.
Yeah.
If you watch those workout videos and you see like the coded language that LeBron puts in a lot of these captions about him going harder than ever and having to prove himself and da 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 da, I think, I don't know if it's self-doubt, but I think Bron even thinks a little bit like, yo, this has to be the season of my life.
He's like, feeling his mortality, I think.
He's feeling it knocking on his door. Like, obviously, I still think Bron has like a good like 3-4 years of being Bron in him.
Right.
But like, he knows like he's not, Father Time's undefeated.
He's not going to keep improving.
No.
Physically, it's going to start taking a toll. And what's very interesting about Bron is I think Bron has a lot of self-doubt.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, just calling yourself king, right? It's like, you know.
You need that constant reassurance.
It's constant reassurance. Yeah. I mean, having that much control over a franchise, which I think economically he's worth. Mm. I think LeBron is the most underpaid player in sports.
Team sports. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in team Absolutely. Sports. And for anybody who's listening, the way that we make that argument is just what he brings to the value of a franchise. So if he's making $30 million a year, but the franchise.
Not even just the franchise.
The whole city almost died when he left.
Yeah. So you could say that he's arguably worth $400 million a year or something like that, right? That being said, so I understand how you trade actual monetary value for power within the organization. But he does have a lot of yes men around. I mean, Phil even talked about this. Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why.
That's his posse. He worded it horrible, but he wasn't wrong.
That's what happened with Riley, right? Riley wasn't willing to relinquish all the power. Yeah. And then he was like, hey, listen, I'm out. I'm not going to do this. And he deserves it. Don't get me wrong. He deserves it. But there might be something in LeBron that he doesn't. He needs the reassurance. I get it. I'm a stand-up. I get it. I need the reassurance. Yeah.
True.
You know, I'm sure you might
but, like
true.
He's human, though. And I feel like us talking about it right now, I can already feel LeBron stand saying, like, how can you say this about LeBron? He's the king.
I love LeBron.
Dog, he's the best. He's the probably, at worst, the third best basketball player ever. I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and he's been that. He's been being told he's the greatest thing since sliced bread since he was, like, 13 years old.
Yep. Who's number two?
On a bad day, I won't say it, you might say Kobe, you might say Kareem, you might say, you know, a number of people, but I'm not, I said at
Chris
worst.
Childs.
He's LeBron is right now, if he stopped playing basketball right now, he's no lower than fifth ever to me.
I completely agree. He's two for me.
I still can't give it to Jordan, but like he's like he's. I said, if he would have pulled off last year, I'd put him over Jordan.
I would have put him over Jordan because it's an argument that I'm sure we've made even on Brilliant Idiots or something like that. But like Jordan isn't punished for all the times he didn't even go to the finals.
Yeah,
LeBron is punished for when he lost.
Yeah.
In the finals, but losing before you get to the finals and losing in the finals, in my opinion, is the same thing. You still lost the championship
that year. You didn't make it. There were teams that were better than you.
Exactly.
Is what I'm saying. But at the same time, a lot of people don't really credit LeBron for the caliber of teams that he's gone against in the finals. He's gone against a dynasty in the Spurs numerous times.
Facts.
He went against a young, but like, oh my God, you had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden all on one team. Like,
the only finals you can hold against him is against my Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas, yeah. That's the only one they got. Can't do it.
Yeah.
He shit the bed. That was the one and only finals he completely shit the bed.
Yep.
And, you know, he came back the next year and did what he had to do. But, like, you know, Jordan played against what? Like, an old Lakers team?
Okay.
For the finals? Like, wasn't it Showtime no more? It was, like, fucking matinee?
It was almost getting out. Getting out of the East was almost more difficult.
Except the Suns.
The Knicks and the Celtics were, like, the Knicks, Celtics, and Boston, Detroit, Pistons. Those teams were a lot better than those Western Conference teams. They were better than those Supersonics teams.
Yep.
The East used to be what the West is now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It was murderer's row. And once you got through the Eastern Conference playoffs, you know, it was, I wouldn't say smooth sailing, but it's like you could handle Byron Russell.
Also, we forget how much LeBron's teams have sucked before recently.
This is true.
And I think that's a big reason he was like, yo, fuck this. I'm taking control of everything. I'm moving every piece. Yeah. I'm going to Miami. I'm coming back to Cleveland when they're ready.
Yeah.
Someone said something in a post-game interview after one of the games in the playoffs where they said something like, last year in the finals, you didn't have much, or like 2 years ago in the finals, you didn't have much support. And LeBron was like, you mean the first 8 years of my career, I didn't have much support? Something like that. And it was just like, I think he was done with that.
He was done with that shit because like he was putting up, God, man.
Boobie Gibson is your second, best player?
His second scoring option was just a spot up underside shooting guard.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. And the old Zydrunas Ilgauskas who couldn't even get up the floor like 4 or 5.
And LeBron loves Zydrunas because that's how bad that team was, and he looked at Zydrunas like, that's my guy.
And he won like 66 games with that team too.
But Bron, I think Bron is one of those guys who realizes what he needs emotionally in terms of support. Like I think LeBron is a truly brilliant guy in that he knows that he has these voids of security.
Mm.
So he knows he has to fill them to operate at the highest athletic level. And if that means bringing James Jones around. You know what I mean? Or that means bringing
Birdman,
who has the best job in pro sports, by the way.
Unbelievable.
James Jones, he's the human cigar. He goes wherever LeBron goes. Then they bust him out when it's time to win, and he just hits a couple threes.
Your seat's warm. Human cigar is so funny.
Yeah. But like LeBron. LeBron, I don't think LeBron's one of those type of players that could play with people he doesn't like. That's why they had to get Kyrie out of there. Like,
interesting. Yeah.
If I'm a GM, I'm like, no, we just went to 2-3 straight finals. You're staying, or you're gonna fix it, and you're gonna like it. If I'm the GM,
right?
But obviously, LeBron has way more power than any average player, than any average GM, than any average coach.
Right.
So, like, if LeBron doesn't like you, like, since when? Since his first year in Miami. When has he had not played with people that he doesn't like?
Right.
You know what I mean? He's gotten to pick his teammates.
And he should.
His coaches. As he should. As he should.
You can earn it.
I think there's a small part of me, like, the more I'm running it through my head, there's a small part of me that thinks he might be a better fit with Isaiah Thomas than with Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I think he will be.
Well,
if Isaiah's healthy.
The one knock on Isaiah is that his teammates hate him.
Yeah.
Really?
No matter where he goes. Yeah, that's the argument. Now, I think that changes when you're on a team.
I think his teammates hate him. I think that's a strong statement.
I didn't know that.
It's a strong statement.
Annoys his teammates or he doesn't get along with his teammates. That was what I heard the initial problem was. I think it was in Phoenix and then Sacramento.
I did hear about that. Not so much in Boston, but I definitely heard that in Phoenix.
Fair. Back in Phoenix and then Sac. But So that's, I guess, what the issue is. And I don't blame Boston for making the trade. But I think there's something different about playing with LeBron. I think you have so much awe and respect for LeBron as a player that you'll check your ego.
Yeah.
Kyrie's the one guy who hasn't checked his ego for LeBron.
Exactly. But I think IT will check.
Yeah.
Yeah. His kids love him when he went to the game.
Yeah.
When they had the playoffs, like, his kids are running to LeBron James and LeBron's like playing with his kids at half court. I'm like, oh, this is
he
cute.
Knows what's up. He was setting it up.
Yeah.
He was setting up.
Planting them seeds, man.
Yeah, I like these kids.
I want to see all what right. the finals look like.
and that's why I was saying, I'm like, you know, there's a small part of me that thinks, you know, like, you find somebody that could spell Isaiah for his, like, defensive liabilities. Like, yeah. This might work better than LeBron and Kyrie.
Bro.
It's possible.
And because of Crowder.
But LeBron needs a get-a-bucket scorer.
Yeah.
LeBron can get buckets. Don't get me wrong. But he's not as skilled in iso ball as Kyrie was.
Mm-hmm. Or Isaiah, for that matter.
Or Isaiah.
Yeah.
You fill that void with that. Isaiah can get you too.
Yeah, people are acting like Isaiah Thomas is a throw-in. He averaged 29 a game last year.
He was an MVP candidate.
He was an MVP candidate.
He put 50 in the playoffs.
In the
That's
playoffs.
A big number.
On John Wall.
With the bad hip.
Yeah, come on now.
King of the fourth.
Like, forget come it. Come on, man. Like, right. Isaiah Thomas is no trade throw-in.
Everything's going to be good. Now let's talk about KD catfishing himself. What's going on with KD, man?
There's so many layers to this.
Come on. Break this story down even. I don't even understand.
Cass, you're the one that told us about it. So.
I'll break the story down. So late last night, for some odd reason, KD, well, if anybody follows Kevin Durant, he has no problem like responding to trolls.
This dude is clapping back.
Yeah, ever since the playoffs ended, like, he has no shame about like just like getting at
clap back sneakers.
So, yeah, and even his sneakers, his entire sneakers is like
air clapbacks. That's what they should be called.
His insoles are just like, you know, just responses to this or whatever.
Yeah.
But he strangely responded to a few of those haters in the third person, like talking about like, oh, you know, KD couldn't do it with his teammates. If you look at his team, it was just him and Russ, and that was it. And he didn't really get along with Billy Donovan and da 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 da. And he's saying this at the KD account, and then it was deleted. So everyone's looking at it, and it's like, well, that's odd. Why would he refer to himself in the third person defending himself? So if anybody who's like on Twitter a lot, we always have this like, you know, this urban legend that these really famous people probably have ghost accounts.
Yeah.
Where, like, I know for a fact Jay-Z has one. I know for a fact Beyonce has one. Like, I know for a fact that a lot of these super famous people, Mike Krzyzewski has one. Like, one of my friends was
Coach K.
Coach K has a ghost account, which, like, he follows, like, recruits.
I love
like
bitches that. And hoes.
You know, and all that.
Where's
you know,
Coke at?
You know so who funny. Doesn't have a ghost account? Ted Cruz.
He absolutely needs
my one. Man got his own account. Let's go. So, shout out to Brazzers. So,
I've always been a Bang Bros guy myself. But, no, wait.
Just threw the fist up. I wish y'all saw what Cass just did. Cass just put out the black power
fist. Bang Bros.
Shout out to you.
I'll tell you, it was a force of habit. I'm sorry, guys.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, but anyway, so it got people thinking like, oh, KD most likely has an account that he responds to trolls with. So the crack staff on NBA Twitter and Reddit start like looking, and apparently they find the actual account. They found the one on Instagram. They haven't found the one on Twitter. So like, he definitely has ghost accounts where like he goes into his own comments and like responds to people. And it's like a certain, like, I don't know how they figured it out, but it's like there was one account that only follows KD and doesn't follow this person. And it's like all these other things. And like, this is the account.
And other like big ball players follow
his teammates, follow
this random account.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm assuming like a lot of these NBA players, they probably shit talk with each other amongst these like ghost accounts. And I think KD accidentally might have outed himself because he quickly deleted it like right after it went live. So it's like, it kind of makes you wonder, like, a guy who just won an NBA championship, MVP, scoring title, finals MVP, like, you need, like, we were just talking about it, about, like, you know, like, people needing that self-reassurance and needing that confidence boost.
He is the Jim Carrey of the NBA. This dude is miserable. Have you seen Jim Carrey recently?
Yes, I have.
Like, Jim Carrey's having a meltdown. This guy's going to, he might commit suicide. I know it sounds fucked up.
I hope he doesn't either, but I was thinking about that, too. I
haven't seen
that. And I was like, yo, like, are we sure Jim Carrey's all right?
and cats are giving him all this credit. Like, cats are like, yo, Jim Carrey's the realest.
He
did a fucked up interview where he, like, bitch, like, life is meaningless. There's no point of this. We're just a collection of atoms, this, that, the other. And a lot of people are like, yo, he's so real. But what that says to me really is that he's deeply depressed.
Yeah, he needs help.
And he needs help. He really needs help finding purpose in his life. He as his career is maybe winded down and he doesn't have these
outlets. It's going to be Kyrie in 2 years.
No, fam. It might be.
And you think KD is like the Jim Carrey basketball version?
Well, if winning the I think what happens is like, and this happens to a lot of famous people, is you think that once you're successful, once you have money, and once you have fame, you'll finally be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become successful, have money, have fame, win a championship, and you're still...
like, this is it.
Miserable. You're still responding to people on Twitter. You still have fake Instagram accounts. That's got to be the most depressing thing ever.
Even if you looked at KD like right when he won the title...
he didn't look happy.
He did not look happy at all.
I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
He was just like, he just shrugged with the trophy. He's like, yeah, this is it. Like, you know, like, and I was watching. I'm like, I think deep down inside, like, he's happy he got it, but like, he knows it.
He knows.
It was not the same.
It wouldn't have felt as good if he didn't get it with the Thunder. And I think deep down inside, he knew it. And he thought that just by getting it, that he would automatically get this. Like, you've seen people when they first won their first NBA championship. They're crying.
They're jumping, hugging
people. Like even Bron, like, perfect example. When Bron won his first title with Miami, he was happy.
He was joyous.
When he won in Cleveland.
Oh my God. Waterworks. Like, yep. I thought he could have retired after that. Yep. Right. Like, happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think deep down inside, like, I think he really, he's still searching for this, like, validation of being, you know, and I've known, followed, even played against KD since, like, I was in, like, high school.
Really?
And, yeah. Like, when I had a game in my senior year of high school. He was a junior. He played for Oak Hill Academy.
Yep.
And he was going up against a kid on our team named Derek Character, who at that point was the number one player in the country.
Right, right, right.
So, and KD was not even ranked at the time. It was Derek Character, it was Greg Oden, and a bunch of other people, right? So after this game, it's our first game at ESPN, KD goes off, kills, smokes us by like 40 points. He goes from like... kind of like in the middle to the number two player in the country. But like everywhere he went, he's always been number two. Like he never could have knocked Greg Oden off the top spot for the high school rankings. Couldn't knock him off the NBA draft rankings. Couldn't knock Bron off when Greg Oden fell off. It was like, okay, KD's the guy now. And it's like, okay, now here's LeBron James, who's like in your way. And he's always just, and he said it in the Sports Illustrated interview. He's like, yo, I was just tired of being number two. And I think even a small part of him leaving Oklahoma City was him noticing that he was still kind of number two in Oklahoma City.
He's beta.
Like, yeah. Like, he's not the alpha.
He was not the alpha at OKC.
So you went to Steph Curry's team where he's got back-to-back MVPs and a ship? thought you'd be the alpha there?
I think he made a decision between being beta and not winning a championship and winning a championship.
Sure championship.
But I think deep down, I think he, like, Russ is an alpha.
Yeah.
He is an alpha amongst alphas. You put him with lions and he will be the strongest
he'll
one.
He'll
in
come
there.
Out the exactly. forest.
The lions are going to follow him.
It's
going to be like that scene in the new Jurassic Park where the raptors are following around Chris Pratt in a fucking motorcycle. They think he's a raptor, you know? I'm the alpha. I think KD is a incredible scorer. So we assume he has an alpha mentality, but he's not built the same way alphas are built.
Mm-mm.
Like, I think KD would play great with a Chris Paul. You know, like an alpha distributor. Chris is an alpha, but he don't want to score. So you get a beta scorer, that kind of type. And I think, I mean, Golden State was a great situation for him. It just, he knows on some level that Steph is going to get a lot of the credit and a lot of love.
I do believe when it comes to KD and the Warriors, I feel like if the Warriors didn't become this ultra offensive mega power shooting, you know, history making shooting team, KD wouldn't have went there. Because it's like, I don't have to be the alpha here, and I could still be the alpha on paper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, he's literally he's the cheat code. Like, everybody in that starting five could shoot except for a center. And he's 6'10", and you could put him at center.
Easy.
And, like, who are you going to guard? Like, he's seeing the least defense he's probably seen since, like, junior year of high school.
Thriving.
You know what I mean? Like, he's been getting double-teamed his entire career. And, like, now when you see him...
Bang Bros.
And shout out to Bang Bros. Shout out to Bang Bro.
This is where we need the visual for the podcast.
We need a Bang Bro sponsorship by the end of this show.
Man, sorry to interrupt, but yeah. So he's double teamed his whole
life. No, but he's been getting double teamed his whole life. So, like, I think on paper, he knew he was going to put up all these numbers.
Right.
And if, like, all the stat geeks that, and on the inside, KD's probably a stat geek himself.
Yep.
And he's like, on paper, I'm the guy here.
Yep.
But like, even deep down inside, he got that championship, he got the finals MVP, and he's like,
yeah. I don't have a cute kid. Where's my cute kid?
Yo, honestly,
where's my Asian-looking wife?
Two things. That tweet I noticed, even anonymously, he didn't throw Russ under the bus. So I think we read into the relationship between him and Russ a lot. Maybe he didn't have beef with Russ. He said something like, Russ and me were the only good, or Russ and KD were the only good players on that team.
Yep.
Donovan wasn't a good coach. Other players were trash. Second, I did this once. When I first put up a YouTube video, like 2 years into comedy, everybody just decided it was racist. I made a fake YouTube account, responded to it.
Oh my God.
And then I was so embarrassed, but I forgot the password to get to my fake YouTube account. Oh. I just took the video down because I was like, I can't believe I did this. And I just, that video is just gone now. It's just never coming back out.
So speaking of somebody who's been through this before.
Well, here's what I was saying, thinking with KD though, the first few negative comments fucked with me so hard. But then after that, you're like, oh, each one affects you less and less. Now, the little heckler video I got that went super viral, I got legit death threats off of that. Those bothered me. Uh-huh. But everybody being like, he's so racist. I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But the first few did fuck on me. But if you're KD, you had to get to a point where it's like, all right, I'm cool. But I did do it, so I can't act like.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, all right, so okay, like you guys both work in entertainment, so
right.
Your careers are based on other people's perception of you.
Yes, of course.
So like when you have to when you had to go in there and like essentially defend yourself on behalf of yourself, did you do it more than once? Or was it like
not just the one time, and then I was super ashamed of it.
Uh-huh.
But I did notice when I went back and read before I deleted, people were really liking my comment. I was like, yo, thank you. I got support out there.
And you got jealous of fake you? You're like, this was actually really me who said that. So know who shit you like it.
All right? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, you almost kind of feel bad for KD at a point because, like, he painted himself. He didn't do it the LeBron way. Like, he thought he could, like, do what LeBron did.
No.
And, like, just take that 1 year of getting hated. And then, you know, the next year, but oh, yeah. You know,
well, LeBron ate his. We saw him eat shit. And then he won and kept saying how humbling that was. KD didn't go through that year.
The worst thing KD could have did was win.
Yeah.
If they would have lost last year.
Yeah.
It would have came back and everything would have been all good.
But to win that easily? To win that easily? It was so disgusting to watch.
Like, it was just like, it wasn't even like...
Most boring playoffs I've ever seen.
It's just a massacre.
Yeah, it's like when the girl asks if she could fuck you. And you're like, did I earn the pussy? I don't think I earned it.
You
know?
And you still do it.
You still do it, but like almost reluctantly, you're like, why?
It don't feel the same.
Yeah, like, what are you asking me for?
You're
like,
still thinking
what's
about
wrong
it?
With like, you?
What's wrong with you that you're just so willingly giving me this pussy?
Yeah, I gotta check you. You like look at it extra close. You're like, what's bubbling?
So the
down
difference
there?
Between the pussy and the championship is that, you know, you can actually talk to the pussy and the pussy will tell you like why they gave this to you. You know what I'm saying? The championship. Like KD's just probably in this wondrous like state of confusion all the time. Why does this not feel real to me? What do I have to do?
Exactly. He's not sure what it is. Yeah. But when you work for it and you earn it, then you kiss that motherfucker like Jordan nuzzled his nose against it. Right? He didn't even try to fuck it. He kissed its forehead.
Oh,
right? He was getting romantic with that trophy.
That shit was sexy. Like, but, he was like caressing the trophy. Yeah, and, like,
caressing that motherfucker. It was baby Jesus in that shit. Right?
Like, that's probably the only time Jordan has ever felt love.
Exactly. In that moment.
Yeah, unless it was like a fucking gambling bet or something. Yeah. Unless it was his bookie. Yeah,
exactly. Or he's watching Unforgiven for the 400th time. 400th. That's a number I just made up.
400.
Okay, let's get outside of basketball a little bit. That fight this weekend, Triple G, Canelo, you guys saw the fight.
I saw
the fight. I saw it the second time. I watched it with the lens of how do I find rounds for Canelo. I initially had it for Triple G.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had him about like 8-4. I think it was 8-4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or maybe, 7-5, 8-4. But here's the thing I will say about the fight. The rounds that Canelo won, he won clearer than the rounds that Triple G won.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave Triple G more rounds. That being said, I just want to say I've never been a big Triple G guy.
Yeah.
I've always said that I didn't believe the hype, that he was beating tomato cans. And when Danny Jacobs gave him a good fight, I didn't give Triple G's age the credit for it. I gave Danny the credit for it because I think Danny's an excellent fighter. I think he's actually underrated. So I just think when Triple G fights elite guys, it's difficult for him. And I think when he fights guys who can actually box and counterpunch, it's really difficult for him. So
he took some shots.
Yeah. Oh, he's made out of adamantium.
I don't know what the hell his jaw is made out of.
Oh, well, but it's like, different.
Bro, he took – there was this one shot that I kept saying on Twitter – of Canelo just catches him so clean across the face. I'm like, yo, if that would have hit me, I would be in fucking Abu Dhabi.
That's the clip. That's the clip. Andrew Grower, you said Triple G's part White Walker, right?
He's part White Walker. Yeah,
exactly. It's nuts. The guy has a hell of a chin, but so does Canelo.
That's what I was saying. Okay, so here's what I want to ask, because I defer. I'm no boxing expert. I just watched the fight.
Yep.
And when I was watching, I was rooting for Triple G, so maybe that's why I was more pessimistic. But if I scored it, I'd have probably had a Canelo 7-5.
Whoa!
Now I'm not an expert, so maybe I'm a complete idiot, and that's cool. I'll put that out there. But I felt like Triple G, everybody talked about this dude is just destructive as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what
he kept hitting Canelo. Canelo didn't seem affected by Triple G shots the same way Triple G didn't seem affected. And I thought Canelo was countering better. I thought he was quicker. I thought he looked more spry.
Definitely was quicker. He's definitely more. He's actually the better fighter.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
So, yeah, he is the more gifted fighter, and he's actually better, but there's this thing with fighting, which is, can you take a punch and punching power?
Yeah.
And those things come into account. If this was basketball, where there's rules that you can't hurt people and foul, then Canelo beats
If it's just scoring,
Canelo beats him easy, but it's not. There's will and heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when Canelo realized that he couldn't hurt him, he started to conserve his energy. If you notice, I think it's around the fourth round. Canelo hit this guy clean, and he just walked through it. Triple G just walked through it. And that moment, he goes, okay, I can't knock him out.
Yeah.
I'm hitting him with my best shit early in the fight. I can't knock him out. I'm going to have to ride this out. And that's when he started going on the ropes. And once he started going to ropes, he started losing rounds. I think if there's a rematch, if he stays off the ropes, he beats Triple G.
Well, there's got to be a rematch now.
There will be, especially
after this whole thing. But it's like, that's the one thing... And we go back and forth about this a lot. Like, I'm the same way as you. Like, I'm not like the most, you know, knowledgeable boxing fan, but I know fighting. Like, I know, like, if I'm watching two people outside fighting, like, this guy's winning.
Yeah. Right. You know? Yeah, right. Who would I rather be? That's
exactly. What you need to ask exactly. Yeah. Like, who's gonna look okay tomorrow morning? You know what I mean? Like, that's all I can score boxing on.
Right.
Like, if you're hitting me with all these body shots that I'm not noticing, that's not really like showing up as well. So I'm like, I'm all right. As long as you don't hit me in the face, don't knock my tooth out and break my nose.
Bang.
Cool. But that's the one thing about boxing, and that's why so many people get turned to UFC, is that like most UFC fights, most MMA fights, somebody's not going in there the same that they looked.
Facts.
You know, like with boxing, I don't know if it's because of the gloves or the way it's scored or like you just said, I never that never entered my mind. Like, I'm always thinking, when people are punching, they're trying to knock you out. Like, no, they could hit for points, for scoring,
absolutely,
for all that type of stuff. They could take some off it just so they can conserve energy. Whereas, like, it seems like in MMA, some people, they just empty the tank. Like, once they got you on the ropes, they just go.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I don't know, like, as a fan of the sport, as a casual fan, I'm like, why would I want to watch that again?
Yeah, you know, interesting.
I can see the whole Teddy Atlas rant afterwards. I'm like, that's exactly how I feel.
I think this is going to get less ratings. I think if someone won, it would have got higher ratings for the rematch. There'd have been a rematch, and with a draw, I'm not paying for it for sure.
There's no vested to me.
Yep.
There's no vested interest in a guy. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing I thought, like, if I'm watching the Canelo versus Scrub fight, I'm like, okay, I heard of Canelo. I'll go watch him.
Right.
It's Triple G versus some guy. Okay. Triple G, I'll watch him.
Yeah.
But now they're both fighting each other. They both fought. It was a draw over some shoddy scoring. And it's like, I feel like I would be more inclined. Like, perfect example, Mayweather-McGregor fight, a clown show. But as a fan of chaos, I'm going in there wanting to see McGregor.
I saw punches. I saw punches.
I saw action. I saw somebody win and somebody lose.
Loved it. Loved it. Awesome. This fight should have capitalized on it. I completely agree. Here's the thing about this fight. Mexicans.
This is going to go left so quickly.
No. This is Mexicans, like, that's like a
Mexicans
boxing style.
Run the boxing game.
Gotcha.
Without Mexico, there's no boxing.
Okay.
Right? Without Mexico, all we'd have is MMA. Right?
Okay,
so if there's a. And here's the other thing about Mexicans. Mexicans don't care about record. Mexicans are like wrestling fans.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like John Cena got fans no matter if he wins or loses. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's how they feel about their guy. So whoever their guy is, and right now it's Canelo, he could lose 40 fights in a row. They're as long as he's fighting for the champ, they go in there, they're going to drink Tecate, they're going to put Tapatio inside tacos, and they're going to eat that, and they're going to watch this fucking boxing match. And they're the best boxing fans in the world because of it, right? They're diehard. Kazakhstan does two things. They send rockets into space and they watch Triple G fight. That's all they have to do the entire year, right? It's not like they're hurting for money because there's nothing else to spend the money on for the rest of the year, right? You pick pieces of the rocket ship off the ground and then you go watch Triple G fight. So I think there'll be interest for this fight again. It's obviously not as big as if you have like a Mexican fighting like a Philippine.
Yeah.
Much bigger. Like or a Mexican fighting a Puerto Rican. Huge. Mm-hmm. Mayweather was able to galvanize black Americans, maybe not. It's
not all of them.
Not all of them.
Good amount. But we saw right through that really fast.
Sure. Yeah. But like some, he got some Americans on. Like I'm a huge Mayweather fan via just a boxing fan, like, you know, whatever. But it's hard to get people interested in a fight, man. Mm-hmm. You need country versus country. Yeah. You need some Olympic type shit.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Adelaide Byrd scored at 118-110.
She should be put down.
Yeah.
She should be put down.
Here's why I think she won't judge again. Not because she was crooked, but because she was so bad at cheating. Why don't you just score it 116, 114 or whatever?
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think it's better to double down on your shitty decision? And then you can make the argument, I scored Canelo's elusiveness and his counterpunching instead of scoring Triple G's aggression.
Maybe. But if it's 7-5, she has a 7-5 Canelo, do you think there's much uproar or do you think it's a bad decision?
I think 7-5 is much more realistic, but I think there's still going to be uproar.
Yeah, but I don't think it's as bad. It's like the person who cheats on the test and always gives himself 100.
Yeah, she did that. She gave herself a fucking 100, and Oscar got to her. Golden Boy got to her.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think Golden Boy got to the person who had it even as well. But even isn't that bad a score part. Whatever. Point is, Mayweather would have whooped Triple G's ass.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway from this whole fight. Mayweather would have destroyed. In peak Mayweather, peak Triple G, Mayweather would have destroyed him. Mm-hmm. Because Triple G struggles with boxers. He struggled with that Kell Brook English kid before Kell Brook's eye socket collapsed. And his eye socket always collapses. He's got these really soft eye sockets. The pussy. No. Why your eyes are always falling apart, animal. Huh? What, you can't blink? You know what I mean? No, but he just struggles with elite boxers. And Canelo boxed really well. Danny Jacobs box really well, and nobody boxes better than Mayweather. So that's what it is.
But that's and it goes back to my original point. It's like I'm a casual fan, all
right? Right.
And you know, great points about like Mexicans. They're gonna go watch the fight.
Yep.
Kazakhstan's they're gonna watch the fight.
Yep.
Me, I'm like, if Triple G would have lost, right? But it was still the same slugfest. It was still the same, you know, amazing fight that it was. And don't get me wrong, it was an amazing fight. I just didn't like the result.
Yep.
I would be more inclined to watch a rematch so I could be like, yo, I'm rooting for Triple G now because I want him to get the get back so we can get the three-peat vice versa. You know what I'm saying? And now they kind of like, they kind of painted themselves into a corner with the shoddy draw where it's just like, duh, like it's not wrestling. It's not wrestling where it's like you don't have to like get me for the WrestleMania card. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like where, you know, you don't have to blow your load on the first fight. Like, no, like blow the load here.
Right.
Get me emotionally invested. You know what I mean? Let me know that this guy fought his heart out. He lost by points. He didn't get knocked out. He took some shots. But now I'm emotionally invested in you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the one thing that pro wrestling does really well. Like
gets somebody gets their ass kicked. Characters, yeah.
They give you characters. They give you something that they give you a reason to root for these guys. And that's why people, you know, the Mayweather McGregor fight, as much of a fiasco it was leading into it, they each had their reasons for you to root for them.
Yeah.
And now they kind of took that away from you if you weren't Mexican or from Kazakhstan or aren't a diehard boxing fan.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not going to attract a casual fan.
No.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I'd rather watch. I would rather watch like roided up John Jones fight again. Again.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't just let them all take roids.
Yeah.
They clearly all take roids.
They're beating the crap out of you. If there's any sport you should be allowed to take roids.
I feel like you should be one allowed. Where, like,
you can probably die.
Absolutely. You should be allowed one mechanical body part. That's my feeling when it comes to MMA. Like, you have one metal arm or like a metal leg, something with a
like
point
a Luke
on
Cage
it.
Arm
exactly.
Or something.
Just something that you could be extra violent and dangerous with. Okay. Oh, next, fellas. Shall we talk a little football?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little football because Kaz over here is unfortunately a Jets fan.
Unfortunately. I you know what? I've been super on and off with like my NFL boycott, mm-hmm. but like the Jets made it like super easy to just like not watch. I was just like, yo, I'm good. I'm like, let's
everybody
go to medals.
Everybody with a shitty team is woke.
Exactly.
It's like, yo, that's funny.
Fuck the NFL, man.
I'm boycotting. Then you get the number one pick next year and be like, yo, I think, you know what? Colin made a change. Colin did make a change when you think about it.
No, but I mean, honestly, like I absolutely support Colin Kaepernick and, you know, everything he's been through. I do think, especially if you watch like the first 2 weeks of NFL season, it's like, how does this guy not have a job when Scott Tolzien and Jacoby
so many
Brissett
shitty guys. So here's my question. There are 8 minority coaches in the, I think there's 8 minority coaches in the NFL right
give
now.
Give or take, yeah.
Give or take. Head coaches.
Head coaches, okay.
Has anybody asked them if they feel pressure, one, to look at Colin, or have they been pressured by the organization? Obviously, they wouldn't say yes or no, mm-hmm. but not to pick him up. You know what I mean? Like, what is there part of them that goes, listen, I feel like this guy's a good player. He's definitely good enough to be a backup. And maybe it's going to take somebody of my skin color to step up and, you know, be the representation of equality in this league.
I think at this point, it's not even a head coach thing. You know
it's
I mean?
Organizational.
Like, I think it's an organizational GM ownership type of thing where okay. it's like, yeah, we're not gonna sign this guy. Like, we don't care if we got to go pull somebody from a fucking convenience store right now to go take some snaps, which they have done.
Yeah,
yeah.
Keanu Reeves, what are you doing? We need
hilarious. Now I
Johnny Utah. Wait, what was his character
in Point Break?
Point Break. It was Johnny Utah.
Think,
right?
I think so. Yeah.
I was thinking of
that
the
is a throwback. And that's right. He's playing
Scott Falco.
That's based on a real thing. I didn't know that.
It was
the 30 for 30 just came out for that 1987 NFL strike. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's what I was gonna say though. I think Colin Kaepernick should have a job. I actually met him. He's the nicest celebrity I've ever met in my life. Incredible, just down to earth, regular, comfortable in his own skin, dude. But Monday Morning Quarterback is a website, and back when ratings dipped last year, they put out like a poll or like just answer, why have you stopped watching football if you have? A shocking number of people, like one of the most common responses is Colin Kaepernick sitting out the anthem. Mm. So I don't think it's right, but I think the owners are making a business decision that he's not quite good enough for the amount that he impacts our viewership, because we forget most of America is not us, even just minorities. I mean, like the coasts. Most of America is middle America.
Especially football watching America.
Yeah, football. And it doesn't make any sense to me why that would bother you so much, because he asked a dude in the armed forces, what's the most respectful way to do this?
Right.
The guy said, take a knee. But for whatever reason, they've all singled this out as, I don't want to watch anymore.
So it's tricky when it comes to the flag, right? Because I think the reason why people stand and the reason why people kneel are different interpretations of what the flag represents. So it's just a lack of conversation, right? Like, I, for one, stand for the flag.
Mm-hmm.
The flag, to me, represents the best case scenario of America.
Mm-hmm.
To put it in Martin Luther King's terms, the promissory note that we are coming to cash. Right. So in the I Have a Dream speech, Martin says, you know, you gave us this note that we have equality and justice for all. We're coming here to cash it. To me, that flag protects that. So that's why I stand. If somebody sees the flag as a current representation of America and sees injustice and equality, if that's how I viewed it, I sit too.
I'm sitting the fuck down.
So,
exactly.
So I think it's one of those things where we have to have a conversation where it's like, if you stand – it doesn't mean that you don't see the inequality.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you see that flag representing what we all should aspire to be, strive for.
And that's exactly what Colin said. His initial thing when they first asked him, like, why was you sitting during the bench? Like, the first time he was just sitting.
Straight sitting.
Wasn't even taking a knee.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, right now this country doesn't, you know, that flag is supposed to represent a bunch of ideals that I don't think is, you know.
And I stand for the flag because it gives you the right to kneel.
Yeah, also that. Exactly. Oh, that's right. Exactly. There's a third option. And so me, I'm 100% supportive of the people that are sitting because they don't see, because they don't see the equality that flag is promising them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm 100% supportive and supportive of your right to do it. Now, let's say you sat for the flag because you don't agree with best case scenario America. Let's say, like, I don't believe in equality. Fuck that flag. And you sit down. Uh-huh. I'm going to be like,
then I got you.
I'm going to have a problem with it, but you're allowed to do it.
Yeah, I still stand for the flag because it allows you that.
And you're allowed to do it, but fuck you for that. Like, but I support, you know what I'm saying? So I think if we had this conversation where instead of pointing fingers about, I know why you're really sitting for the flag, I know why that you're not appreciative of America, if we actually had this dialogue with folks.
But here's the thing, we can have this conversation. A lot of people aren't having this conversation. Like, it's very coded language that they use when they talk about Colin Kaepernick and why it's so disrespectful that he takes a knee for the flag. Because first off, like, there's like dozens of players taking knees during the national anthem anymore. Nobody gives a shit, right?
Right.
Like, now it's like, okay, the poll that you brought up for Monday Morning Quarterback is, oh, why people aren't watching the NFL anymore. Have you seen the attendance for those Chargers games? Have you seen the attendance for these 49ers games? Colin Kaepernick isn't playing for these teams.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they aren't, these guys aren't, there's a million reasons why people aren't watching football anymore. And Colin Kaepernick is nowhere near that. Maybe your team sucks. Maybe you're moving your franchise and you've been a San Diego fan for your entire life and now it's in Los Angeles.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons.
I was shocked
at how many people named Colin Kaepernick, singled him out.
Sure.
I'm not saying he's the only reason at all.
So I think that might be a scapegoat.
I think it was I think it was one of those weird like Facebook message boards like, hey, there's this poll over here. Let's all go and vote this guy so we can get him out of our league. And like, I don't think, like, that's clearly not the reason
aren't watching is because people have cut their cable. There is an inordinate amount of kids that just don't have TV anymore. Mm-hmm. They just have Netflix, Hulu, and the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just like we do. I cut my cable. But before that, you know, as a 33-year-old guy, on a Sunday, I wake up, I get a cup of coffee, get an egg sandwich, come back, turn on the games, and I'm flipping whatever. I don't have flipping whatever anymore. Right? I'm on fantasy. I'm on the internet, or I'm going to a bar.
Same.
I would be interested to see if bar patronage
has increased.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
As I guess viewership at home has decreased. Nobody's looking, but I guarantee you there is more like togetherness watching or whatever that is.
But I mean, like, I could see where you're coming from with that, but it's like, dog, like, let's not forget, like, the NFL's a really fucked up league.
There's
a lot of there's like, you know, you're employing rapists and domestic abusers.
We don't give a fuck about that shit, dog.
But some people do, and some people aren't supporting that. They've always had, like,
But now it's coming to light.
Now we know.
We never used to know, and we were much happier that way in terms of NFL. Well, there was no TMZ Sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we all act like women love Kardashians and gossip. We eat all the shit up.
Right.
We talked about Kyrie's interview for an hour, him gossiping, us gossiping.
Yeah.
So, but now there's a market for us to have these, like, we want to hear these stories.
But
we're entertained by them. And it brings them all to light.
Boxing and MMA are the most watched events in the world, which they are when they're big events. And then all of a sudden we have a problem with the health risks of football.
But here's the thing, though. Another thing that adds to that and why people aren't really fuck with the NFL anymore is because in 2017, like, sports and celebrity and people and their fame is we're very big into individuality now. You know what I mean? Like, that's why the NBA is so popping right now. The NFL, it is about the shield and that fucking logo on the side of your head. Tom Brady ain't missing no meals. Peyton Manning ain't missing no meals.
Yeah.
Like, all the quarterbacks, they good. Like, not even all the quarterbacks. There's maybe like five or six. Like, Matt Ryan could walk in right now and nobody know who the fuck he is.
Yo, that's right.
Matt Ryan.
Odell had to dye his fucking hair just so he could be noticed.
Yeah.
You'd have no clue. I know, you know, Wax, which is Charlamagne's bodyguard best friend, girls fuck him all the time thinking he plays in the league. Dead ass.
All you need to do is be a big
Diesel ass, Diesel black dude, have some dreads. You play cornerback for the Packers,
and you're fine.
Yeah,
but it's like, dog, like in the
you
NFL,
could definitely convince a white girl you play safety.
Oh, trust me, I've convinced plenty during NBA draft week and NFL draft week. Trust me, bro. Trust me. I've definitely been a backup for the Brooklyn Nets on many occasions. But the NFL is so big on. It's almost like the Army. It's like, it's all about the flag. It's all about the shield. It's all about the team. It's all about, you know, if you come out of line and people were giving Odell shit last
year. You couldn't
year.
Even celebrate for a while.
No. Yeah. They just brought back celebrations. Yeah. And even then, they're still kind of like, you can't use the ball as a prop. You can't do this or that.
I think the takeaway here is the NFL needs Mexicans. And if they had a Mexican fan base, dude, forget. Those Chargers games would be sold.
They're thinking about opening a team or like starting a team in Mexico City.
Do that shit.
There was a study that I read that was saying
get your steroids over the counter.
Not the steroids.
Would be beautiful.
If San Diego moves south to Tijuana instead of north to LA don't care about pro football. Tijuana would give a fuck.
There's certain adult leagues around the country that play football with no helmet and no pads.
Well,
and allegedly
it's safer. So here's a convo I want to have. Right. What does the NFL do? Because it has a decision, right? Mm. Watch its game essentially become unplayable, which is in the next 30 years if concussions continue
to go
like
that.
This.
Yeah, it might be less than that.
Maybe 20 even, right? Yeah. So it will become unplayable and eventually parents just won't let their kids play and they'll just have nobody left to actually play the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can find a healthier way to do it. And I know it sounds shocking to people maybe listening to this right now, but the safest way to play football...
No pads.
...is no pads just because the padding... is the weapon.
Yeah.
You don't run head first into anything without a helmet on. But the second you put a helmet, have you ever worn a helmet just for fun?
No.
On just for fun. All you want to do is headbutt people. Like, your head is protected. You just want to go to your friends and just slam them, smash walls. You become a hammer once you have a helmet on.
But the guy, I forget his name, the guy that Will Smith played in the movie, who's like the CTE guy.
Concussion. Actually, you can do the accent perfectly.
Well, we're not going to do that. First off, when we did Brilliant Idiots, I screwed up my Nigerian accent last time and I got shit for it.
You can't put a dude on the spot to do his accent.
Nigerian community came after me.
Yo, they came after me hard.
Bro.
Because I said, something about, there's royal figureheads in Nigeria, which there is.
Right.
But people were like, no, they don't have any power. How are you going to say that? You're not even from that. I'm like, all right, bro. Like, you get what I fucking meant when I said it. So you're not paying me that
real quick
again,
tangent. I just want to say, I later that night after the episode, if you guys haven't listened to the episode, we did an episode, the three of us on Brilliant Natives, which was the impetus for this podcast right here. But I bumped into a buddy of mine and you had been talking about your parents threatening to send you back to Nigeria, right? And the effects of this.
Mm.
And I bumped into my boy OJ. Shout out to OJ. OJ, incredibly successful dude. He's worked in, just wildly successful in America. When he was 9 years old or something like that, 11 years, I forget what it was, he forgot to come. He came back to the home late. Right?
I know exactly where this is going.
Okay. He came back home late. He didn't tell his mom, right?
Right.
His mom said, get in the car. He goes, where are you taking me? She goes, get in the car. She took him to the police. So she walks him into the police and she goes, officer, I don't know how to do that. Officer, please. He came home late. Please. Do what you need to do. Arrest him. She tried to have her son arrested for coming home late. I think 11 years old. And then she sent him to Nigeria for 2 years to a boarding school.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. And he said, yo, that shit straightened me the fuck
up. It's a real thing.
For being tardy, though.
Yeah. No, this was for like, you know, maybe being a little mouthy or something. Not having the respect that she was accustomed to culturally, like when she grew up in Nigeria. And it was just so funny for him to relate wholeheartedly to this experience and to have gratitude for it. He was like, yo, that shit got me on point. I appreciated the things in America that we had. You know, like, it was just interesting
that's
to see people.
That's like, a Nigerian's parents' worst nightmare. It's like, I didn't raise you like these American kids.
And
they
will
send you back there happily to do it. Like, I've seen it happen. I'm good.
So concussion.
So that doctor said there are four sports to stay away from. And I think it was football, MMA, boxing, and rugby. Which rugby, there? I don't think they got pads. There's definitely no helmet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was still one of the sports. He was like, keep your kids out of this sport.
Okay.
So I don't think, because I was with you. I was like, just take away the helmets. Mm-hmm. But then apparently that doesn't help either. What they got to find a way to do really quickly is make a much safer helmet.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that's the most immediate one, but you'll still have concussions from the, what is it called? The whiplash of a hit.
Yeah,
isn't that what causes it?
These, from what I understand, it's a lot of the micro hits, like linemen over and over, the small repeated ones. Yeah,
it's like boxing. Right? Yeah. That's why boxing is worse than MMA. It's constant pounding on your head throughout a fight instead of one big punch knocks you out.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if you ever notice, like, a lot of the people who, like, either die of CTE or, like, have, you know, lingering effects, they're linemen because, like, every play, like, oh, hut, boom. Clash,
headbutt,
clash,
headbutt,
clash.
Yeah. You know what I mean? At a certain point, maybe people are already asking, but I don't hear it a lot. At a certain point, we're going to ask ourselves, are football players just violent, abusive, murderous, whatever? Or is CTE making them this way?
I think CTE is making them this way.
So there's a lot of, like, and I get it's a violent game, but it seems disproportionately, like, football players tend to be really violent and just in trouble in general off the field.
I mean, I don't think it's interesting. I don't know if the CTE is like what's making them this way, but I mean, you got to think about it like this. A lot of guys that make it to the NFL, they've been violent football playing guys for what? Since they were like in teenagers, like they were kids.
Is there a discrepancy?
So I don't think it helps. Like,
no,
I think
it
fast forwards the
violent
process. Yeah.
You're rewarded for the violence, right? A big hit, you get a clap on the back. I mean, at the end of the day, we're creatures of habit. Right, we have a reward system that if you tap into, will continue to do it.
Right,
if I do well in school, my parents reward me. I want to do well in school more. Right,
exactly.
So the same thing goes with football. I wonder if there's a discrepancy between offensive players and defensive players. Are defensive players more violent off the field? Right, like are they beating their wives more? Like are they?
You know what it is? Yeah. I think. I mean, gosh, if you think about it. The last couple of really big domestic violence cases were what? From running backs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they're kind of physical like a defensive player.
It's that's
but
right.
But it's not like you ain't seeing Tom Brady beating up on his wife.
You
ain't seeing Ryan Fitzpatrick go nuts on nobody. But
Dak Prescott is an angel.
Dak Prescott's an amazing model citizen in the community.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, a lot of I'm not sure if it's like offense, defense, but it's like it's definitely I absolutely do believe it's the physicality of the position that is definitely helping to fast forward what is happening. Because, wide receivers don't really get into a lot of trouble like that, except like they're divas, maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
divas, that's it. You're going to be sassy.
They ain't slapping nobody around.
No.
You don't see it with cornerbacks a lot.
No, cornerbacks, chilling.
Quarterback will shoot up a
linebacker.
Club.
Yeah, they'll most, still shoot them. They might shoot themselves in the leg.
That's it.
Maybe.
Shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
They hate themselves.
Exactly. But I mean, I don't know. I don't see, a lot of defensive players, a lot of linemen, a lot of running backs. Like, their games are built on violence. They're built on action and hitting and being strong and all that type of stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a correlation for like position or anything like that. But I mean, they are.
Those are positions where you use your head a lot to hit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As a spear.
Yeah. Jovan Belcher, whatever, the Kansas City linebacker, I think he was, like killed his wife and killed himself.
Yep.
Junior Seau shot himself.
Yeah.
Linebackers, you're using your head a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's oof. I don't know.
Got serious.
It is very serious. But
got serious.
I don't know. I always think of like, anytime I think of CTE, I think of like, you know, the Chris Benoit stuff where it's like.
In wrestling, you see it.
His finishing move was a diving headbutt. Like he would jump off the top rope and headbutt people from the top rope.
Yeah.
So you're doing that thing hundreds of nights throughout the year. Of course your brain's going to turn to mush. Of course you're going to kill your wife and kill yourself because you're developing Alzheimer's, you're developing CTE, developing all these things because of repeated trauma to your head. And that's just your finishing move. That has nothing to do with like, you know, a guy coming and smashing a chair over your head or getting slapped around or falling on the back of your neck and all this other stuff. So it's like.
Does it affect the way you watch though?
Pro wrestling. I mean, like they've definitely gotten a lot safer. Like they don't take like unprotected chair shots to the head anymore.
It's a hand up.
They put a hand up, or you just hit them in the back or something.
Right.
They don't really do a lot of like, you know, they do. They will like to advance a story more. Like if somebody gets hit square in the head, it's like a big deal, and they're like, oh my god, they took an unprotected headshot. So like, it's not like back in the day where they were just doing like five times a week.
But is it? Because here's why I'm asking. Because I'm watching the Cowboy game yesterday. Born and raised in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible game. But Nolan Carroll, the cornerback, got hit by Sean Lee, a linebacker, his own teammate, in the head, went down. They took him through concussion protocol. He passed. Then he got hit by Jeff Heath, I think it was, the safety.
Yeah.
Got hit again. So I see basically two concussions to the same guy.
Yeah.
Then the next play, I don't remember which Denver receiver it was, but he goes up to try to catch a pass, doesn't come down with it, lands on his head. He got a concussion. Back to back, and every time my stomach turned.
Yeah.
I don't watch it the same.
Well, I didn't even think about concussions back in the day.
Yo, yeah. We thought that was dope. You rock somebody.
Yeah, there's a great Patrice O'Neal bit. I'm not going to do it justice, but he has this joke about how like excited we would get about the violence.
Yeah.
Like we would root for it.
We didn't hold hands and wait for him to get up. And,
yeah.
Exactly. You take off his socks. Yeah. You start walking around with his socks. You go, look at his concussed ass with his socks off on the ground.
That's what we thought. Like, that's we did.
Yeah, that's what we did.
We just thought it was awesome. And it's like now we're all a little bit older. And like, that's why I think.
And more informed.
More informed. There's more science to back this up that like, yo, like even the smallest little knock to the head could do some real damage if it's happening over and over again.
Yeah.
So like, that's why I'm thinking like, yo, like less than 20 years. Like
it might be a wrap.
Though when I was working at a translation, like one of our projects was to do the Play 60 and try and get kids to play football more because. Parents weren't letting their kids play football.
I mean, you might as well work for a cigarette company. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like the numbers from like the 80s, 90s, 2000s, boom. Like a complete like sharp decline afterwards.
You let your kid
and
play?
It's like, hell no. No.
Would you let your kid play? I mean, I'm 5'7", dog. My girl is 5'1". Our kid playing tennis. Ping pong.
Like, I'm 6'3". My girl's like 5'11".
Oh,
we're putting a basketball in that crib, and it's like, we'll shoot some damn hoops.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd let... I mean, I don't know if I would. I don't know. It is interesting. I'd want my kid to know how to throw a football.
Yeah.
Like there'd be something embarrassing about my kid.
Oh, he got to know how to throw
a football.
Yeah.
But I would cut it off before he got too good at it. Right? Just don't throw it like a chick.
Switch out the football to baseball.
Say your kid is like a quarterback prodigy. Would let him play quarterback? Like I think I'd let my kid play quarterback maybe.
So here's the thing. My kid's a quarterback prodigy.
Yeah. Like the first time you hand him a ball, he throws like a fucking 90-yard dart. It's on the line.
I
just like
honestly
shit.
Rather my kid get CTE and kill all of us than play Little League baseball.
Really? That's
even professional baseball. That's how horrible baseball is. I loathe baseball. If somebody gave me the option, your whole family's dead. He's taking out your whole family. Or you have to sit through one season of Little League baseball. I'd be like, how old does he get before he takes us all out? He makes it to the NFL?
Do
we get some good years?
He
goes to the Pro Bowl? We're going to Hawaii 1 year. You're saying we're going to Hawaii 1 year? Okay, let's do it.
Terrible,
easy.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Easy question.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's all we want of our kids. We don't want our kids to be fucking cucks. You got to be able to. You got to be able to throw a baseball. You got to be able to throw a football. But ideally, you hit that Jimmy, right? Ideally, you have a nice little jump shot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even your short kid could be out there on the 3-point line splashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a homie who's my height and he's nasty.
Yeah. That's
just
it.
Just all threes.
What's
bang.
His face?
Rajiv.
Rajiv. Yeah,
you see the money that NBA players are making? They're making soccer player money now. And it's a long career.
They're marketable.
You get to see your face.
And you can play in Europe now.
Yeah.
There's opportunities for kids who play D2 ball in this game.
Yeah, Brandon Jen is in China.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get your money.
Stephon Marbury is a legend in China.
Dude.
You know what I mean? And he went there like 15 years out.
And think about it like this.
He went there washed.
Steph Martin went there washed. And guess what's going to happen? He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
First ballot, too.
First ballot Hall of Fame.
It's
how crazy.
People forget it's a basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's not any, like,
basketball.
Dude, he was a high school star, college star, NBA star, international legend.
First ballot. Basketball.
This
in
is the most
China.
New York y'all have ever been.
But is he not, though? He has a statue in China.
Come on. He got his own Vaseline line.
Fam, David Black going to the Hall of Fame? He got his own Vaseline line. I slept on that. It's a very funny line.
But obviously,
he's from Brooklyn. I put him in there.
What? Black?
Black was from Brooklyn. I'm like, yo, he's a Hall of Famer. He went to the finals, goddammit. I don't care who he took.
Sebastian Telfair, Hall of Fame.
Shout out to Bassie, bro. Oh,
Lincoln man. High School, bro.
Yeah. Stay out of trouble. Trouble, Bassie.
Real talk. Is there anything else that we got to cover, boys? What do you think? Is there anything else?
I don't this was.
I mean, we gave him some heat.
Oh, Odell's playing right now.
But is he
right?
playing?
Yeah,
how's it, you got to go host that shit.
Giants,
fact,
welcome back, OBJ. Well, yeah, Odell's back. Yeah, so I got to go host some Monday Night Football right now. Sweet.
Do that.
Six.
Well, listen, thank you guys so much for listening to the first ever Flagrant 2 podcast. We're dropping every Tuesday, Flagrant Tuesdays. The Flagrant yes, 2,
I like
Flagrant
that.
Tuesdays.
Good brand. That's good
what
Jewish
it is.
Branding.
I like that.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe to us. And yeah, make sure we do that. Let me think exactly how to. I don't know the exact SoundCloud page. I hope it's Flagrant 2, but make sure it's the Flagrant 2 with Akash, Kaz, and myself, Andrew Schultz. I think right now we're going to put this first step on the Brilliant Idiots feed, and then as well as have our own SoundCloud page. And then once we get up on iTunes, I want you guys to all subscribe to that so you can keep doing that. We're going to do this every week. So hit us up throughout the week. Let us know stories you'd like us to talk about. Let us know some interesting things that are going on in the sports world.
Tell us if
world.
We suck too, man.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Give us that constructive feedback. He is Nigerian.
I'm making a fake Twitter account right now, fam. I'm responding.
Also, tell us who you want to have on. We're going to have some athletes on. We're going to have some pundits on. So let us know who you want to have on and who you'd like to hear from. And thank you again so much. So give your socials just so they know who to tweet.
I'm at Akash Singh. I'm going to have to spell it out for you. AKASHSING H.
Boom. And Kaz?
Oh, at Real Life Kaz, RealLifeKaz.
And I'm Andrew Schultz, SCHULZ. There's no T. Make sure you check out 441. Obviously, listen to The Brilliant Idiots. We drive every Thursday with that. And, come check me out on some of my stand-up gigs, man. You can get all my stand-up gigs at my website, theandrewschultz.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next Tuesday. Peace.
Later.
God bless.